of Ruth. If you turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1 and heard of God's respect for God's word, let's all stand. I'll read the first 14 verses. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. You know, sometimes when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. So what she was basically doing is telling them, stay here in your country, and I hope you find a husband and be blessed. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? So she basically asked them a question, saying, It is impossible for me to even expect you to go with me to raise up children, that you're going to wait to marry so we can carry on the bloodline. She said, That's impossible. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray you give me wisdom. I pray you speak to the need of every heart in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to share with you, we're always looking for God's will in our lives. And I want to share with you what is God's will for you. And I'm going to tell you what God's will is for you, Ms. Nellie. Whether you want to hear it or not, I'm going to tell you. Amen. First of all, God wants you, His will for your life is He wants you to have the right purpose in life, the right purpose. I'll tell you a secret about God's will. A lot of times we spend our life trying to find God's will, and what truly happens is God's will finds you. He finds you if you'll have these three characteristics. Number one, again, make sure you have the right purpose in your life, the right purpose. If you look in chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth tells us what that purpose is. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, the purpose is to make God your God. Ruth was a Moabitess. She served pagan idols. She left her family tradition and her family behind. She took a step of faith, and she changed who was going to guide her life. And she said that the true God, the Jehovah God, is all mine all the time. Now watch this. Watch this, Brother Jeff. When I make a decision and say I have the right purpose, that God is my God, that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Now watch this. When I trust Him as my Savior and I say, God, you're going to be my God, the areas of my life He needs to be God in, every area. And so when I'm saying that, what happened with Ruth, you watch, she left everything. She left everything in her past. She left the heathen idol worship. She left all the paganism. She walked away from it. So the truth is, if I'm going to have the right purpose, Brother Toby, the truth is I need to decide that God's going to be my God, watch this, in every area of my life. I need to do that. He needs to be my God in the area of my work. He needs to be my God in the area of the way I deal with people. He needs to be my God in the way I live my life. He needs to be my God, and there should be no areas of paganism in my heart. None. And I don't know about you guys, but that's a constant work for me. You know, the New Testament says to work out your salvation. Meaning, once you're saved, there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. God needs to work through our lives, and He needs to work through my life. And for Ruth to pick up her suitcase and say, "I'm out of here, and your God's going to be my God," she must have really listened to Naomi's testimony and Naomi talking about God. She must have really listened, and one day she says, "I'm with you." Now, she owed nothing to Ruth. I mean, Ruth owed nothing to Naomi. She owed her nothing. And yet she took upon herself all of this weight and this responsibility. Ruth did that because she wanted to serve God. You know, when I say, "God, you're my God in every area of my life," watch this. That gives me a lot of responsibility put on my shoulders, a lot. But watch what happens when Ruth made that decision. Verse 16, it also says, "Entreat me not to return." If you look at that verse 16, she says, "Naomi, quit telling me to go home. My hand is to the plow. I'm not looking back." I'll tell you a secret, Brother Jeff. When I was on the farm and we drive that old farm all tractor, the worst thing you could do is look back when you're driving forward. I promise you. You would run over top of the plants. And my brother was never happy when you do that. He'd come over and tell you. So what you would do, this is what I learned early on the farm, is when you're driving that tractor and you're in motion going down a row, and if you think, "Uh-oh, I got too close, I think I knocked off that plant," you don't look back. You don't look back at the plant you nicked and cut and damaged. You keep straight ahead and try not to make that mistake again. And in our Christian lives, you know what a lot of times we do? We're plowing along. I'm so glad I was raised on a farm, but we were plowing along, and we nick one plant, and we want to look back and destroy the rest of the plants. You don't look back. Don't look back. And if you've got friends and family members in your life that's telling you, "Well, if you think you're going to do something for God now, look at all the mistakes you've made," you need to quit listening to that junk. Amen? Let God take you forward today. And Ruth told Naomi, said, "Naomi, quit telling me to go home. Don't do that anymore. Don't tell me to go home. I don't want to wake up every day with you telling me I should go home and leave you alone." Now watch this. Don't live your life on hold or at a slow pace. Go full steam ahead. I've had people criticize me. Surprise, surprise. Think I made mistakes. Surprise, surprise. I know I made mistakes. But God is in the business of forgiveness. His mercies are new every day. And I want to push forward for the Lord as much as I can. In verse 16, again, that's a powerful verse. She says, "I will go." I will go. Meaning I'm going forward. I'm going forward. And look at what she says right before "I will go" in verse 16. "Whither thou goest." Watch this. All of a sudden, here's what Ruth says, Miss Nellie. Watch this. She says, "Miss Nellie, it's me and you together, two committed friends." That's what she told Naomi. She says, "I'm going with you." She says, "And wherever you go, Miss Lily, I'm with you. You don't have to worry about babysitting me and asking me, is it okay? You just set the course, and I'm with you." Isn't that the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants me and you to be? Just let Him set the course. Let Him say, "This is where we're going. Here we go." And let Him set the course and be willing to go and be willing to take that chance. Two committed friends on a journey. She said, "Whither thou goest, I'm going. I'm going to be with you." It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of support. It's a walk of commitment. It's a walk of confidence. It's a walk of excitement about tomorrow. It's a walk that where you can relax knowing, where Naomi can relax knowing that Ruth is with me. Now, Brother Peter's my friend. Y'all know that. And I went over to his place yesterday to take my daughter. I don't know how I get volunteered to do this stuff, but my daughter said, "Dad, you got plenty of time. Take my truck over there and get the oil changed. And by the way, have them check the tire." And I'm thinking, kid, she says, "Dad, I got this yard sale. I'd rather pay her the money for the yard sale and leave me alone, amen." But to be a good little loving daddy, I go down to the gym and I work her, making big muscles on me. And then I take her vehicle over to Brother Peter's up on West Main Street to get the oil change. And when I'm in there waiting, 15 people come in and interrupts him. So instead of a 30-minute in and out, I'm done. 2 hours later, I'm still sitting in that chair, Brother Jeff. Now, here's the point. Watch this. Brother Peter is having a really busy day, meaning he's making some decent money, hopefully. He's having a busy day. If I'm his friend and I'm committed to him, Brother Jeff, I need to anticipate that and let him do what he needs to. So I kept saying, Brother Peter, don't worry about me. He kept saying, Brother Jones, you okay? I said, don't worry about me. You take care of them first. They're paying customers. My pay is getting reduced every second you delay. But now watch this. Be that kind of friend to somebody else. Be like Ruth. Ruth said, wherever you're going, I'm with you. I'm with you. If Brother Peter had to worry about offending me and getting me upset and I'm going to walk out of his shop and pack my bags and never come back again, what kind of friend is that? A friend like Ruth, Naomi could relax. Don't you think Naomi already had enough on her? She lost her husband. She lost the two sons. She's got two daughters-in-law that I cannot expect you to wait for me to have other children according to Jewish law. Doesn't she have enough on her shoulders? Doesn't the people that God has placed in your life already have enough on their shoulders? Let them always look around. Watch this. Let them always look around and you be standing there with a smile on your face and an open heart saying, what can I do for you? Be a friend like Ruth is. Be a friend that God wants us to be. And she says, I will go. And then she says in verse 16, again, that's a powerful verse, I will, whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. She says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang out with you and I'm going to lodge there, meaning I'm going to live, watch this, Brother Jeff, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm going to forsake my homesickness. I'm going to actively pursue life with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be a blessing to you. I'm not going to hold on to the past. I'm not going to put my life on hold. Watch this, Miss Jenny. What she's saying is, I'm going to build dreams for tomorrow with you instead of daydreaming about yesterday. A lot of us think always daydreaming about yesterday, and there's nothing wrong with that. When I'm over on that riding lawnmower, cutting my grass, I daydream about yesterday's. But let me tell you something. You don't live and get anything done if you're daydreaming about yesterday's, of how it used to be. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving the foundation God gave you and respecting the tradition and respecting all of that. But Ruth could have lived the rest of her life, Brother Jeff, homesick and upset because she was dealt a bad set of cards, a bad hand of cards. I don't know anything about cards, but Miss Jenny was telling me sometimes you get a bad hand when they deal it to you. I don't know. But all I'm telling you and me is, watch this, let God take care of your past and build dreams for tomorrow. I don't want to think about, when I was down at Preacher Morris's church and how we'd have the place packed and dwell on that. I want to dwell on the future and let's build for the Lord, amen? Let's build for God. Let's do things. And when she says, I'm going to lodge with you, Miss Vicki, when she's saying that, she's saying, I'm going to live life to the fullest. Now, my sister-in-law walks on water, virgin. I hope someday she can come in here and y'all meet her. She literally walks on water. And the world, down on the farm, Brother Toby, you're always in a financial crisis on the farm. And heaven help you if you have a bad year. Everybody's doom and gloom, and you know they get so depressed they can't even spit the tobacco out of their mouth. It just dribbles down their chin, amen? But my sister-in-law, Virgie, if the world is falling apart, you wouldn't know it from her, Ms. Nellie. And she'd always make sure that we have something for our birthdays. If it's nothing but a cupcake, she'd always talk excited. You know the type of people I'm talking about? Don't you like being around those type of people? I like being around those type of people. And if you look here, Ruth was that type of person. Ruth said, you know what? I'm going to lodge with you, and we're going to live life to its fullest. We're going to enjoy life. And then she says this. Now, this one, Miss Nellie, is for you and me. She says, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now, let me ask you something. When she took God's people and Miss Naomi's people, did she take all the people's problems too? You see, watch this. When you get saved into God's family and you think, well, I've got saved now, so I'm with a bunch of saved people, so they're perfect. That ain't going to happen, Jack. That ain't going to happen. And what she said is this, Miss Vicki. She's saying, your people, with all of their crazy ideas and their silly ways of doing things, they're going to be my people. Now, down home on the farm, we'd have get-togethers, a lot of people will come out of the woodworks that I don't run with and don't hang out with. But do you think at a get-together, Brother Jeff, I'm going to say, what are you, you idiot, what are you doing here? I don't want you here. I'm not going to do that. They're my family's people. So what I do is I welcome them and enjoy them and fellowship with them and have a good time with them. And if nothing good can be said, I just don't say anything at all. But I love them and do whatever I can for them. That's what Ruth is saying to Naomi. She's saying, I don't care. Your people, bad or good, problems or no problems, perfection or not, bald-headed or not, they're my people. They're my people. And they're going to be mine. And don't you worry about it. Isn't that neat? Do you remember when you, some of you, when you were dating and you, the first time you had to introduce your, for you men, your babe to your mom? That can be a traumatic experience, I can tell you that much. But isn't it nice when the babe that you introduce to your mom just loves on your mom and thinks she's the greatest person in the world? Man, that's relaxing. That is what Ruth is saying here. Saying, Naomi, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to extend my welcome to your family. I'm going to extend my hand of fellowship to them. They're my people. And then she does something I like. In verse 17, she says, where you die, I'm going to die. I'm here for the end. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. You know what she was doing? She was saying, when she says, the Lord do so to me, she's saying, Naomi, my commitment is not just to you, but my commitment is to the Lord God. What this is all about is Ruth's faith in the Lord God. So number one, have the right purpose. The next two are shorter. Have the right purpose. Number two, if you want to know God's will for your life, what it is, His will for you is not only to have the right purpose, to let God take control of your life, but not every area, but number two, be in the right place. Be in the right place. Be where God wants you to be, and everything else comes second. Be in a place of service to Him. In chapter 2, verse 1, watch what happens. This is really neat the way God put this thing together. In chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. In verse 2, now Boaz means kinsman redeemer. It means a lot of blessings wrapped around this guy. That's just what it means. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Now watch this. Watch this, Brother Jeff. In verse 2, when she says, glean ears of corn after him, she is not thinking about Boaz. God is just giving you a little secret. God is telling you in verse 1, hey, I'm just letting you know, Naomi had a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. And in verse 2, one day, Ruth gets up and says, I'm going to the fields. And I like the way the Lord reminds you that she's a Moabitess, meaning she's in a foreign country, so she doesn't know anybody. She's saying, I'm going to go to the fields and I'm going to glean corn, or ears of corn, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She said, I'm going to go out, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to find somebody that will just let me pick up some corn so we can eat and live. She says, I'm going to get some food for you, Naomi. Evidently, Naomi was too old to do that. She says, I'm going to get enough corn and so forth so we can pay our monthly bills, we can provide for each one of us to eat, we can take care of each other. Now watch what happens in verse 3 of Ruth chapter 2. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was also the kindred of Elimelech. And that word, when it says her hap, it means she just happened by chance to show up in his field. That's tongue-in-cheek from God. Nothing in your life, in my life, Psalm 37:23 says the steps of the righteous man are ordered by God. Not a single step, Brother Toby, this is true. Not a single step in your life and in my life is by chance. And when it says here that her hap was to light, it says she just happened, meaning it's just by chance. God is tongue-in-cheek. There's no chance with God. There is none. God chose her to end up in Boaz's field, and she didn't even know Boaz. And she didn't. And God is so good about this. He says in verse 2, He reminds you and me, this is the Moabitess. This is not her home. It'd be like, Brother Toby, if you took me out to where you live. You live in Louisa? If you took me out there and said, Brother Ray, who owns that field across the street? I said, well, Brother Tobin, I don't know. I'm not from Missouri. Who owns this land beside? I wouldn't know. If you asked Ruth that morning, said, do you know which people, who owns all these properties? She said, I don't know. I'm the new kid in the block. I don't know. So she got up, and she happened, God ordained it for her to show up on, at his property. And it says here, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. God is just linking all the dots for you and me. She had no idea of what was happening that day. She had no idea of anything, watch this, Wendy, of anything other than getting up and doing her daily chores. She didn't know Boaz owned this field. Now watch, don't everybody watch, don't miss this. If you tune me here before, don't tune me here now. What you think is a daily routine or a coincidence may just be the very tip of God's divine intervention, His direction, and His blessings for you. Oh my, somebody needs to take that and sink it down deep in your heart. When she got up this morning, Miss Helen, she thought, this is just another day. I'm going to go out, and I already know what's going to happen today. You know, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to try to find somebody to let me get corn in their fields, and so that hopefully, I mean, she's sweating. Hopefully, we'll have enough to get us through the day, just enough to get. I've been there with my mother. When you hope you have enough to get you through the day, and when you lay your head on the pillow that night, you don't know if you got anything in the morning, but you hope you do. You hope granddaddy down the street will bring you some eggs so you at least have some scrambled eggs in the morning, amen? You hope you do. And Ruth, when she went out that day, just an ordinary day, Ms. Vicki, just an ordinary day, ho-hum, boring, trying to make a living, she landed on the tip of God's miracle blessings in her life. She landed on the property of Boaz. Why, Ms. Woody? Because God directed her steps. Let me tell you something. God directs your steps. It's time to get excited about your ordinary days, amen? And you know, you can have an ordinary day. Where it all started was in verse 16. Verse 16, when Ruth, with no one making her a promise, when Ruth, Miss Wendy, where no one, where Naomi couldn't say, guess what, Ruth? If you come and live with me, one day you're going to show up in Boaz's field. Ruth couldn't say, didn't know that. Naomi couldn't promise her that. And yet when she made that decision in verse 16, Brother Toby, that was a decision of her lifetime. Of her lifetime. In everybody's life, watch this, there are watershed events and watershed decisions. And if you have a decision like Ruth did, that said, I'm in it all the way with God, that makes the biggest difference. And on this, in chapter 2 of Ruth, in chapter 2, when she happened to show up in Boaz's field, she happened to step on a miracle from God Almighty that she, a Moabitess, not from that country, didn't even know what had happened. The blessings had hit, and she didn't even know it. Now watch this. So you got to have, number one, if God's will for your life is to have the right purpose, God's will for your life is to be in the right place, the place of service. Well, you say, whatever happened to Orpah, who stayed back in the heathen country? She made the biggest mistake of her life. She made the biggest mistake of her life. Ruth and Orpah had the same opportunity. Orpah said, well, you've convinced me, Naomi. I'm going back home. I'm not going to wait around for you. Best wishes, and kissed her goodbye in verse 14. But Ruth made the decision of her life when she says, no, I'm in this thing till the end. Are you in it to the end with God? Be in it to the end. So have the right purpose, have the right place, and then God's will is for you to have the right passion. And we'll go through this quickly. Have the right passion. Look in chapter 2 of Ruth, verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, talking to Boaz, because he had already provided for her. If you read the previous verses, Boaz told Ruth in verse 8, for example, hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field. Boaz said, don't go to another field. I want you to stay right here in my field. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes, and we're in Ruth chapter 2, verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? That's protection. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels. That's filling your appetite, your thirst, and drink of that which thy young men have drawn. And in verse 10, have the right passion. She fell on her knees, on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, and she didn't know who she was talking to. She says, why have I failed grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She didn't even know who she was talking to, but she had the right passion. She said, who am I? You ever said that to God? Who am I that you should be so good to me? There's a quote from Spurgeon that says, God, your grace has outgraced itself in my life. Has outgraced itself in my life. And old Ruth, not even knowing who she was talking to, bowed down on her face and said, who am I that you should have done all of this for me? Verse 11. You think God doesn't know the sacrifices you make? You think God doesn't know the times you cry during the night? Look in verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Verse 13, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You think God misses anything you sacrifice for him, Brother Jeff? Not a single thing. Not a single thing. And here Boaz, strange woman in his fields, and Boaz takes the time and the mercy and the grace to find out about her, say, who is this lady? He had to ask somebody to care for her, to provide for her. And when she came and fell in his, had his face, and he's a wealthy man, he didn't have to do this. He said, let me tell you, Ruth, I know all about you. You know, when I got saved, the thing that really, really blew me away, Brother Jeff, is when I found out later, I understood that God already knew everything about me, and he loved me, and he saved me anyway. Man, that'll get a hold of you. God knows everything about you, and yet he loves you and he saves you anyway. And here, old Boaz says, I've already known your testimony. I've already known that. And then in verse 12, he says, God's going to bless you for trusting him. And then we're going to jump down and close this out. I'll just give this to you. In verse 13, God encourages the heart. Look what he says, Brother Toby. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. God encouraged her by giving her a friend, someone who spoke comforting words to her. And then in verses 14 and 15, God commanded those around her to bless her. God does that with you. He commanded those around her. And in verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Now, you can't miss this, and I'm going to close. In verse 16, you know what Boaz said? Boaz said to his men, I want you guys on purpose to drop handfuls, verse 16, some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them. I'm going to provide for her. And I don't want you to tell her. But when you're working in the fields, I want you to purposely drop handfuls of blessings, corn and meal on the ground. And when she comes along bringing up the rear, what's left over, her leftovers, watch this, are going to be some of the best choices because you're going to leave it for her. Watch this. God's handfuls are better than your pocketfuls, friends. God's handfuls of blessings. And he tells people along the way that you and I don't even know about to leave us handfuls of blessings that we run into and we wonder, where did that come from? Or how did I get that? Or I remember one year, Brother Toby, you like this, I ended up at the end of the year in January get my taxes ready for my CPA because I'm too lazy to do them myself. And I was getting them ready and it didn't even add up. I said, how did I get this? When the red subtractions should have had it way down here. Handfuls of God's blessings. And here, old Boaz said to his reapers, said, you drop her handfuls all along the way of the best. That's what that means, of the best. And we're closing. verses 17 through 19, when she goes home, and I'm going to summarize this, Naomi did not know that day she'd been in touch with Boaz. Didn't know it. Naomi is at home, Ms. Jenny, wondering how my daughter-in-law is doing, worried about her, why is it taking her so long, and she didn't even know that Boaz was taking care of her and providing for all of her needs. You don't know what God's already doing for you. And God will bless you. And in verse 20, she then said, hey, you don't know who this is, but this is our kinsman redeemer. Our kinsman redeemer. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, I won't go there, but all the land of Naomi's husband and the two boys, Boaz purchased a full redemption and bought it back. And Boaz, in verse 10 of chapter 4, married a wealthy husband. And in verse 11 of chapter 4, they said, Ruth is going to be like Rachel, meaning she's one of God's chosen. And what they're telling you in chapter 4, verse 11, is that God, when Ruth in verse 16 of chapter 1 says, your God's my God, and chose God, God turned around and chose her and said, she's going to be like Rachel. Rachel was chosen, remember? She's going to be like Rachel. She's going to be remembered that way. And then they're the predecessors of David, a man after God's own heart, who's a predecessor of the Lord Jesus Christ, our real kinsman redeemer. Now, there's one verse we're going to close on, I promise. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And we're done. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. Miss Jenny, you ought to turn there, so act like you're interested, amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. Watch this. This is a blessing. This is what happened to Ruth. Don't miss this. This is worth the whole lesson. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Do you know what that means? That means God, I'm going to read it again. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hey, Jimmy, come here. Come here. This is what it means. Watch this. Jimmy, turn around. And Jimmy, pretend you're running ahead of me to get away from me, or just running. Watch this. Now, don't do it, though. Just stand right there. Stand right there. But y'all pretend in your eyes that he's running. What that verse means is God's blessings, and I'm going to represent God's blessings for this brief interlude in my life. Amen. God's blessings, Brother Toby, he can't see me, can he? He don't know I'm behind him. If it was in real life, he wouldn't know I'm behind him. But it says in that verse, Ms. Wendy, that God's blessings, Ms. Vicki, overtake him. God's blessings catches you, and you don't even know they're coming. You can go sit in, Brother Jim. God's blessings, that's what that means. And when Ruth went to that field that day and ended up in Boaz's property, she didn't even know it. She didn't know that God's blessings were running up behind her, going to wrap their arms around her. What about you? Do you think God's going to treat Ruth any better than he's going to treat you? No, we're in grace. God's not going to do that. And so I'm here to tell you that God's blessings are sneaking up behind you. Sneaking up behind you. And his will for you is you don't quit before they hit you, before they tackle you. I played football. And God's will is for you to have the right purpose. Thy God's going to be my God. Be in the right place. Say, Naomi, I'm with you till death do us part. And have the right passion. Have an attitude of, why me, Lord? Why have you done all this for me? Because the blessings are coming. Now, I believe this, and we're done, with all of my heart, that God has got some of the greatest blessings for this church, Faith Baptist Church, and for every one of you in here. He's got some of the greatest blessings that we could ever know. We just better stay parked where he wants us to be and be faithful. They're coming. I know that. I can feel it in my body. They're coming. And we don't live by feelings, but the feelings sure do feel good right now. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the book of Ruth, and I thank you for her testimony, Lord, and she gave up everything to make you her God. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we'll have that same dedication, that you'll use us in a great way. Bless this church in a great, great, great way, Lord. And let us see many souls saved and many encouraged to walk close to you. In Christ's name, amen. God bless.